What was Yaakov doing the night he was left alone on the other side of the river, the night he wrestled with an angel? According to the Rashbam, Yaakov was trying to run away. He intended to flee in a different direction so as to avoid a face-to-face encounter with Esav. It's no great surprise. Running away has been Yaakov's preferred mode, first in his flight from home at his mother's urging, and then again, recently, to escape from Laban. Now, about to encounter Esav for the first time since that first flight, Yaakov again decides to run. Maybe he is playing for more time before he meets his brother, hoping to come up with a plan that will save them all. Maybe, in times of terror, this is simply the only thing he knows how to do. In the middle of the night, under the cover of darkness, Yaakov helps his family cross the river. Finally, after everyone else has crossed, Yaakov is left alone, ready to join them, and, as he has done so many times before, flee. This time, though, Yaakov meets a nameless man, and the story changes. The encounter with the man who wrestles him until sunrise finally forces Yaakov into a direct confrontation, something he has always avoided until this point. This, perhaps, is the meaning behind the blessing the angel gives Yaakov before he departs. Said he, "Your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but Yisrael, for you have striven with beings divine and human and have prevailed." In this blessing of a new name, the man changes Yaakov's conception of himself. "Look," he might be saying, "what you've done tonight. You have faced me. We wrestled together all night, and you survived. You are capable of facing a stranger face on. Surely you are capable of facing your brother as well. Running away is not your only option. You have learned tonight that there are other pathways forward." The blessing, however, is not the only souvenir that Yaakov takes from his nocturnal confrontation. Yaakov is left with an injury that he carries for the rest of his life. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he wrenched Yaakov's hip at its socket, so that the socket of his hip was strained as he wrestled with him. Yaakov's injury functions as a counterpart to his blessing. Whereas the blessing is a form of encouragement, showing Yaakov that he does not need to run away and is capable of facing his brother, the injury is a physical barrier that ensures that even if he wanted to, he cannot. Yaakov's limp presumably slows him down. By the time his wrestling match concludes at sunrise, he is no longer capable of fleeing to avoid Esav. The combination of the blessing and the injury succeeds, to a point. Yaakov does indeed finally meet his brother face-to-face the next day. It is a beautiful moment in which the two brothers embrace, and, it seems, old injuries are forgiven. But Yaakov's pattern breaking is only partial, quickly followed by a reversion to his previous tactics of lying and avoidance. At the end of his encounter with his brother, Esav invites Yaakov to join him in his camp on their journey to Seir. Yaakov demurs, saying that Esav's camp will need to travel too quickly for his family to join them, and promises to meet his brother later at his destination. There is no evidence in the Torah that Yaakov ever does. As far as the Torah tells us, Yaakov never meets his brother again. One might assume that this is the end of Yaakov's experiments with direct confrontation, that the result of his nighttime wrestling with the man is no more than a brief departure from his usual way of being. The story of the nighttime encounter, though, ends on a curious note. That is why the children of Israel to this day do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the socket of the hip, since Yaakov's hip socket was wrenched at the thigh muscle. While Yaakov's injury may have prevented him from fleeing only temporarily, something about his encounter with the angel and the injury he carried from it remains with Yaakov's children and is ritualized through their refusal to eat the Gid HaMasheh. His sons, the young children who Yaakov helped cross the river that night in his aborted attempt to flee, carry the memory of that night and pass it on to their children in turn. In refraining from eating the Gid HaMasheh, they maintain an embodied memory of the refusal to flee, and a ritual reminder of the man's blessing that we are capable of confrontation. It is this memory, perhaps, that allows Yaakov's son Yehuda, years later, to make a different choice when he encounters the viceroy of Egypt. The situation is remarkably similar. Yehuda faces, unbeknownst to him at the time, a brother he has betrayed, one with significantly more power at his disposal. It is another moment where confrontation could lead to calamity. Yosef actually encourages his brothers to use Yaakov's perennial strategy, telling them to leave Binyamin behind and flee. Yehuda, however, carrying the memory embodied in the ritual of the Gid HaNasheh, makes a different choice. Rather than running, he confronts Yosef directly. And it is that choice, that confrontation, that creates the difference between this generation and the last, allowing the family to ultimately come together again. Confrontation with those we have wronged and who have wronged us can be terrifying. So often it is easier to walk away or to tell pleasant lies that paper over wounds. The man's blessing to Yaakov, though, urges us to choose another way, to face open confrontation with all its dangers, because the rewards that it offers are worth it. Because it is only through risking real confrontation with our brothers that we are transformed from Yaakov's family into B'nai Yisrael.